Well, welcome today. My name's Ken. I'm on staff here at Every Nation Melbourne. Whoops. And we are doing our Vision Sunday. So it's been, interesting days. This is not February, isn't it? It's kind of, Val's innovating, I'm innovating. Normally you have a vision kind of casting time, talking about who we are, where we're going, what we're planning to do at the beginning of the year. Well, at the beginning of the year, I was newly installed as the senior pastor here at Every Nation Melbourne. That was January 22nd. And it's taken me about 7 months to work out what's going on, what's the price of tea, all that kind of stuff. And, just kind of working out where we're at. But, it's actually quite an auspicious day to have a Vision Sunday. First of all, it's a new season, isn't it? Winter has gone. We've left behind the cold, dreary, grey days of Melbourne. Winter's being a place of dormancy. And now we're moving into spring. It's a season of life. It's Father's Day. Father's Day is a day where we celebrate what dads bring to the family relationship. And I know I talk about it in my family all the time, how I bring identity and vision to our family. I tell my kids all the time, we are the Johnston family and we serve and encourage. We find people who need encouragement, people on the outsides, on the margins, we go out to them, grab them and include them in our lives. That's what we do. That's what fathers do. Fathers build identity, value, visions for families. And it's also an auspicious day to talk about our vision because we've completed. We've finished our 18-week series through the book of Ephesians on who we are. We call that series Identified. And so from our identity flows vision. We've spent all this time looking at who we are individually, who we are corporately, who is this God who says he's with us. And in that big framework of, okay, A, B, C, D, this is who we are, this is who God says he is, who are we now and what are we going to be doing? So we finished our Identified series. Oh, and at the end of that Identified series, we talk about we are the people who pray. We are those who pray. And we pray for each other. Often in Ephesians chapter 6, we look at and we think about how, we put on the armor of God and we're called to fight. We need to fight the enemy. Well, it's not so much that we're fighting the enemy. We're not praying against the enemy. At the end of Ephesians 6, it tells us who we are. We are people who pray and we don't necessarily pray against the enemy. What we pray for, it's not what we're against, it's what we're for. We pray for each other. We pray for our relationships. We put on the armor of God to fight for each other. Sometimes it feels like we put on the armor of God to fight against each other, but that's not the way it should be. We put on the armor of God to fight for each other, to fight for those relationships. So we finished our Identified series. We finished on the concept that part of our identity is we are the ones who pray for each other. So at the end of that, we started 40 days of prayer and fasting. 40 days of prayer and fasting, people giving up various things and seeking God, asking different questions about where are you taking us, God? See, I want to walk away from the idea that the senior pastor has to have all of the answer for all of the vision. And I'll make that pretty clear today that I expect you guys to own some of the vision and to bring what God is saying to you, because God doesn't just speak to me. You know, the kingdom of God is highly decentralized in its power. Every single one of you, if you're a Christian here today, has the Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit speaks to you. The Holy Spirit speaks to me as well. And maybe they might give me more of a framework for the church, but the details, how it fills out, that's why we asked you guys to be praying for this past 40 days. God, what does it mean to be a family? What does it mean to have success? What does it mean to engage with our local community? And I hope God's been speaking to you about that as you've been seeking him. So that 40 days of prayer and fasting finished on Friday. And so my wife and I, we celebrated with a glass of wine, because she had given up alcohol. And just one glass. She said, she bought 12 bottles, but I said, just one glass. And we also had, just recently, we had Pastor Larry Matsuwaki from Every Nation Church Singapore come, and he's a prophetic minister. And as he was sitting down with the staff members, he said, Ken, I hear this word simple. And he just, I know your Vision Sunday coming up, but maybe the word simple needs to be a feature of it. And I like that. You know, making complicated things simple isn't easy, but it's doable. I'd like to live a relatively simple life as a simple guy. And this is just information. Next week we're having our annual general meeting. And after the annual general meeting, we're going to allow you guys to ask questions. And you can ask questions anonymously through this app. If you go to this website, maybe take a photo of it or whatever, but it's www.sli.do or Slido. You can just look up Slido on Google. And if you enter the number 9961, then as you can ask questions. You can say, Ken, why do you wear... your shirts with your sleeves rolled up all the time. What's, are you trying to show off your biceps? Why do you do that? Or Ken, why don't you brush your hair? You know, you can, any question you want to ask, feel free to do it. It will be anonymous. So this is a conversation, right? This is not just me dictating to you what we're doing, but this is a conversation, a journey, a relational journey that we're going on. And so, you can do this up until Saturday. Saturday evening, perhaps, or? Yep, Saturday evening or afternoon. Do it by Friday. Get your questions in by Friday. Feel free. And, we want to engage with what you guys are thinking as well. So Pastor Larry came and he shared a single word which was simple. And I wanted to be inspired by simplicity. And I thought about what Jesus did in terms of the law of God. Did you know that in the Torah that there are 613 to 617 different laws that God gave the nation of Israel all throughout the first five books of the Bible, from Genesis through to Deuteronomy? 613, 617, depending on how you divide and count up those laws. And that's a lot of laws, right? That's a relatively complicated legal system. I mean, not as complicated as modern-day society, which has thousands of laws. But, you know, for an agrarian society, Iron Age, back in, 2000 BC, 1400 BC, then you've got, that's a lot of laws, 613, 617 laws. And that's relatively complicated. It's all these rules on how to please God through sacrifice, how to atone for sin, how to deal with occupational health and safety issues. One of the laws was that you build a flat roof, then it's got to have a wall around it so someone doesn't fall off your roof. And then you don't get sued. If you dig a hole, we've got to make sure that, you're liable. One of the laws is if you dig a hole and someone falls in it and you didn't warn them and put up some safety barriers around it, if they fall into it, then you're liable for whatever damage is involved. So that's one of the 617 laws. And Jesus, in his incredible genius to make things simple, breaks it all down. And let's have a look at this story. Jesus distills the essence of the law from 613 to 2. This is Mark chapter 12. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." "Well said, teacher," the man replied. "You are right in saying that God is one and there is no other but him. To love him with all your heart, with all of your understanding, with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." So in Mark's gospel, we have here a question of what are the most important laws? And Jesus answers and he says, "To love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself." In other gospel accounts, he's asked, what do the law and the prophets hang? And he answers the same question. So in essence, the most important laws of the Torah are also its distillation, brought down to its simplicity. Everything flows, all the other laws. Building a safety barrier around your flat roof where you walk, you spend the cool of the day, that's to love your neighbor. Someone comes up there, you don't want them to fall off and to die, right? To do a certain animal sacrifice a certain way is to obey God to show that you love him. So this is what Jesus does. He distills the essence of the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, down to two simple sentences. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. So love the Lord, love the neighbor, love your neighbor, love the Lord, love your neighbor. And when you think about it, that actually sounds quite a lot like who we say we are in Every Nation Melbourne. I hope you can see the sign over there, a little beach scene. I don't know why we chose a beach scene, but there it is, the waves. Maybe you're feeling just like, wow, it's pretty cool, and it's a connection to creation. But honor God, the first part of our tagline, honor God. This is who we say we are. We honor God. That means that we want to love God with all of our mind, all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our strength. The first law. The second law, make disciples. Making disciples. That sounds a lot like loving your neighbor as you love yourself, where you engage with people, whether they're Christians or non-Christians, you engage with them, you spend time with them, you go on a journey with them. And one thing I know about both of these concepts, honor God, make disciples, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength, love your neighbor as yourself. Both of these ideas are deeply, intentionally relational ideas. And you can't love God without being relational. I mean, people try to do it, don't they? They rock up the church on a Sunday, you know, put in their token amount, in, you know, maybe stand there with the arms folded and enduring the worship. And then they get out here as soon as the meeting's over. And, you know, I've been there. I've been there in different seasons of my life. But that's not, is that honoring God because I've come to church? Or is honoring God, is there a concept where honoring God is more equated to this idea of loving Him with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength? Loving my neighbor as myself, making disciples. You know, a lot of movements try to make disciples by taking relationship out of the equation. Let's fill up the stadium and let me teach you about Jesus from the pulpit. And I understand the irony that I'm teaching about Jesus from the pulpit. But this is not all that we do. And that's not the vision that I and the leadership of Every Nation Melbourne have for how we make disciples. So, our vision is to truly honor God and make disciples, to love the Lord, our God, with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. And this requires deep relationship. Simple. I've simplified it. Pastor Larry would be super happy with me. I've simplified our vision. It's simple, but it's not necessarily easy. Whether it's difficult or easy to achieve is a completely different equation. So this Vision Sunday is about refocusing what we do alongside who we say we are in relational terms. Let's bring it back to relationship. I have a vision. The staff have a vision that Every Nation Melbourne would be a deeply relational church. How do we, in Every Nation Melbourne, honour God? How do we love God with all of our heart, our mind, our soul and strength? And how do we in Every Nation Melbourne, how do we make disciples? How do we love our neighbours as ourselves? How do we love our Christian neighbour as ourselves? How do we love our non-Christian neighbour as ourselves? So because our neighbour includes those two big categories, doesn't it? It includes certain things that we do together as Christians and certain things that we do together as Christians to engage the wider community. Because ultimately we're here to make a disciple of the city of Melbourne. You know, what we're pushing 5 million, I believe. And there we go. All right, let's have a look at this. Where are we now? Where are we now? Well, we're at Ridges. It's a very literal answer to that question. But where are we now in terms of what God is calling us to do and the relationships that we have? And I think we've got pretty good relationships. I think we have pretty good relationships. There's always room for improvement. But let me say this. Relationships can be a challenge for us in Every Nation Melbourne. Pretty good, but they can be a challenge. And why is that? Well, why is that, Ken? Relationships can be a challenge because of geographical distance. We are spread out across one of the largest cities of urban sprawl, low density urban sprawl. Derek, as a urban planner, he's kind of throwing up in his mouth a little bit about how we've just spread out so far. We, you know, 1 hour's driving from the west into the city, 1 hour's driving from the city out to the east, to the north. You know, we're spread out so far. Geographical distance can be an impediment to close community and relationship. And it can be an impediment to our mission as well, can't it? Like if you are connecting with someone, a good friend of yours that is wanting to find out more about Jesus and they live all the way out in Cranbourne South, and you say, hey, do you want to come to church on Sunday? Oh, yeah, where's church? Is it in Cranbourne? I'll go to Cranbourne. Oh, no, it's in the city. Oh, okay. No, I don't think I'll travel 50 kilometres to go to church when there's 1,000 of them along the way. So, geographical distance can be an impediment to community and to relationship, of course. You know, proximity fosters relationship, doesn't it? Being close together. You know, we had Jacob and Grace. A lot of you guys know Jacob and Grace, who live very close to us in Brunswick. We lived in Brunswick West. They also lived in Brunswick West. And now Jacob and Grace, they've built a house. They've moved out to Croydon. They live very close to Pastor Jay and Kelly, which is great. He's dead to me now, of course, because he's moved close to Jay. Geographical distance, it can be hard to come together. But it's not just geographical distance, there's distance in terms of culture. Cultural distance. Communication can be more challenging with differences in culture. In fact, communication can be more challenging. Miscommunication can occur a bit easier. Offences can be easier when we're talking about cultural distance. And that's okay. This is who we're called to be. We're called to be in every nation church. We're called to work through those things. It just means that we need to work through and talk about different issues and make sure that we're clearly communicating. I grew up in a multicultural family. My dad's Aussie, just Aussie soldier, you know. My mum, Chinese Malaysian, and they from Penang. And you know, I always say this, my mum and dad, they loved each other so much. But they fought a lot, and they fought a lot because of, I believe, cultural distance. And so, you know, and overcoming cultural distance isn't impossible, of course. And there can be incredible joy in breaking through those barriers. And it's like, you know, when you pay a higher price to work to really communicate clearly, then all of a sudden the bond of relationship is made stronger. I think that's what God has for us. But there is a challenge of cultural distance as well as geographical distance. And then you've also got the other resource issue, which is time. Hands up, if this could somehow be an eighth or ninth day of the week, would you like that? If there could just be an extra, just more time for you to do things, an extra 6 hours per day to do stuff, just to catch up on sleep or whatever, would that be like, yeah. Then, if we had 6 extra hours a day, then I would be building community in my local area. I wonder if we would though. The vision I have is that we would prioritize who God is calling us to be. So life is busy, I get that, absolutely. But relationships are what we are called to. We are called to relationship. This is keeping it simple. What's Every Nation Melbourne about? We're about honoring God, making disciples. What's honoring God, making disciples about? Loving God, loving our neighbors. Both those things are intensely relational. It's a season, and we're doing pretty good. We have challenges, but God is taking us into a new season of where we are truly, deeply, dare I say it, madly family. So, it's a little shout out to Soundgarden there, Savage Garden. I want to tell you what I will be doing. I want to be modeling what God is doing, what I believe God has for us as a church. And when I say I, what will I be doing? What will Pastor Jay be doing? Pastor Kelly, Kira. What will we be doing? What will the leadership team be doing? We'll be prioritizing building deep relationships with key leaders in geographical areas. We'll start the process of just finding people, walking alongside with them, hearing their dreams, sharing, communicating, doing life together with key leaders in geographical areas. What I'm doing when I catch up, I'm reading the Bible with them, praying with them, hanging out. And I'm also intentionally communicating vision for what it means to be an Every Nation Church in our diverse context across the city of Melbourne. So not only are we multicultural as a city, but different geographical regions where we find clusters of Every Nation members, different geographical regions have their own subculture. The eastern suburbs is different, not just because of the nationalities are there, but because they're the eastern suburbs. You know, they're a little bit more snobby because they've got trees. They think that they're with their clean air and their, you know, great shopping centres. Whereas out in the West, you know, the West is different because, not only because of nationality, but because, you know, it's flatter, it's dustier, there's factory fires, all that kind of stuff, toxic smoke in the air. You know, the West is different, but you know, the West might have factory fires, but still the West is best. And then we've got the We got the northern suburbs, we've got the inner city, we've got, you know, Bayside areas, the southeast, and they're all different, right? They're all different, not just because of the demographics of the people who live there, but because of the culture that's developed over time there. And so what the leaders are doing is we're identifying people, going along the journey with leaders and saying, you know, we want to walk closely with you as you hear from God about how to build a community of deep relationship in these spread out, disparate, culturally different parts of the city of Melbourne. So, alright, so the vision of the church, Ken, it sounds like you're saying that the vision of the church at the moment, what we're focusing on is relationships. Is that right? Yes, so the vision of Every Nation Melbourne in this season, for now, what God is calling us to do, keeping it simple. So we're not really changing much here. I don't know if you were expecting something big and grandiose about how we're going to become an online church or how we were, I don't know. No, we're just keeping it simple, honoring God, making disciples, but as family, just adding that in there. And this is as much speaking to me and our leadership team. And I know there's family already that you guys have been developing. And one of the great blessings for me as a senior pastor here is just the people that God's brought. God has brought incredible people. And even a lot of the prophetic words that I've had is about God bringing great people that are, it's almost like I've been doing ministry life by myself since 1998 when I started praying for God to bring revival at Melbourne University across the road there. Ever since that time, as a young, proud man, I've been trying to change the city of Melbourne in my own strength. And God is saying, yeah, okay, Ken, how did that go for you? How did doing it by yourself all those years, how did that feel? Was that enjoyable? Was that an enjoyable experience? Why don't you let me bring great people from around the world alongside you, and I'll plant them in different parts of the city of Melbourne. What I want you to do is to teach them all the mistakes that you made in that 20 years when you're trying to do it by yourself. Teach them the mistakes that you made. Give them some of the little bit of wisdom that you have and journey with them. Build relationally with them. Communicate the vision of Every Nation in Melbourne on how we can make a difference in different parts of the city. And so that's the vision. Honor God, make disciples as family. The vision of the church in this season is we can truly be a new family. This is what Ephesians was all about, a new humanity. Jesus is making a new humanity. He's breaking down the dividing wall between Jews and Gentiles, between Jews and the nations. He's bringing us all together. We can be a truly a new family, a new humanity with Jesus as our head, so we can fulfill the family identity. What's our identity? Honor God and make disciples in Melbourne. So, the focus for me and the leadership team will be investing relationally in key leaders in key parts of Melbourne and then doing in such a way that they will be able to replicate the process. And this is what I see. When talking about vision, this is what I see, a decentralized church. So once again, we have the irony of people driving from all across the city of Melbourne to come and meet in the CBD. This is a very centralized meeting. I've kind of drawn you out from your actual mission fields. Your mission fields are where you live, where you work. But we meet here and we gather here together and we inspire one another, we pray for each other because it's important for family to get together. But the idea, what we're working towards is a decentralized church where we have community, where we have gatherings, where we're invested and engaging with people of where we live. And my job is to help raise up leaders who will oversee that in different areas. So what I see is a decentralized church that meets every week, yes, but has hubs spread throughout Melbourne with leaders who the leadership team, Pastor Jay and myself, Pastor Kelly and Kira, with who the leaders and who I am journeying with, who will embody and model Every Nation vision. Hubs of community that engage those around them and establish and equip and empower one another. So hubs of community that love our neighbours as ourselves, Christians and non-Christians. Establishing, equipping, empowering Christians that God brings to us, absolutely. New believers who God's adding to us, but also engaging non-Christians in those different parts of the city. So I'm focusing on building relationship with leaders. We're talking about building something here, building a church, building a mission, making a difference in the city of Melbourne. I'm focusing on building relationships with leaders so that Jesus can build his church. I'm building leaders who I will journey with as they build community in their community.
I'm focusing on building relationships with non-Christians so that Jesus can build his church. So these are different relationships I'm focusing on. Focusing on relationships with leaders so that they can build relationships in their community. I'm focusing on building relationships with non-Christians so that I can see more people added to the church. And this past week I've spent went out for lunch with an Indian couple that we've been connecting with. Went out to a poker game out in Croydon with some Christians and non-Christians that we've been connecting with. We have a barbecue every single week at our house that is open to anyone in the church to come to. If you're sitting here, please come to our barbecue. Has anyone ever had my chicken wings before? Are they any good? If you're looking for an event, then come along Tuesday nights. You know, it's a bit of a strange night, but it's what works for us. But we have Tuesday nights. We have a barbecue every single week, whether it's pouring down in rain or it's hot or whatever. In winter, we have an outdoor fire, and it's something you can invite your friends, your non-Christian friends along to. So that's something we do to engage. And we've been engaging with, and we've been building a community. We've been building a community of Christians and non-Christians at our house. And you're welcome to be a part of it. And you might be saying, oh, maybe I'll come and see what Ken's doing, and maybe it will work if I do this where I live. Maybe it won't. Maybe it won't work where you live, but the principles are transferable. Hospitality, feeding people, listening to people, talking to them, engaging, you know, offering to pray for them when they've got an issue coming, you know, that something's coming up. Just speaking encouragement to people. So that's what I'm focusing on. So let's have a look at this. All right. How are we loving God at the moment with our heart, mind, soul and strength? I.e., how are we honouring God? Remember, going back to how Jesus simplified the Torah from 613 to 2, and he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul and strength. How are we doing that? How are we doing that? Life groups. So we have life groups. We have life groups, which are our small group ministry spread throughout the city, and is aimed at Christians coming together to be established, equipped, and empowered. You know, we are honoring God by serving one another, being in community with each other. But this is also a way for ourselves to love our neighbours as ourselves, love our Christian neighbours as ourselves. So life groups, we have that throughout the city. And we're just doing a stock take of them all. We'll put up all the different locations on the website. You can see where they are. And then there we go. Leadership 215. How are we loving God with our mind? Well, we are raising up people who are learning systematic theology right in this moment. They're learning systematic theology. Last week we looked at sin. We studied sin together. That was a depressing class. No, it was good. We had a really good time looking at studying the theology behind sin. So leadership 215, we have that, and you might be able to start another intake next year, depending on if other people are interested. How else are we loving God? We're loving God by building relationships with God, helping ourselves to be able to walk more in the freedom that He has for us. And this, we have this school of healing process. Every Nation Brisbane, of whom we have a few representatives today, Every Nation Brisbane is hosting the School of Empowerment and School of Healing in October. And this is a process where, School of Healing in particular, is a process where we journey with people. It's kind of like a tailor-made victory weekend that goes built on relationship, where we go on the journey with people and we work through some deep issues that they have. And everyone, that's okay to have them. I need to do this process. It's absolutely okay to have them. As we go through this process and we walk into the freedom that God has for us, loving Him with all of our mind, soul, body and strength. How else are we honouring God? Well, we have this meeting, the Sunday celebration. And this is an opportunity where we have people can bring their different talents and giftings. We have the creative ministries team. We have ushering in kids' church and youth that we're doing during the Sunday service, which is great. And then we also have the encourage team. This is something Pastor Jay has started. It's our prayer and intercession team where we're walking in, hearing what God's saying to us as a church and speaking prophetically into different people's lives.
to encourage them. So, once again, if you have any questions, there's a lot of information here that we can go into more detail after our AGM next Sunday. But would like to, if you have any questions, just make a note of them. You can even start to put them on the app now. How are we loving our neighbours as ourselves? This is the make disciples part. How are we loving our neighbours as ourselves? Well, a lot of what I talked about previously, the life groups, Leadership 215, School of Healing Process, Sunday Celebration, the Encourage Team, a lot of those things establishing, equipping, empowering one another and loving our Christian neighbour as ourselves. Those are things that we as Christians are doing. And you know, if we have a really great bass player who's not a Christian to come and play, well, I suppose we could do that, maybe, or talk to Matt, put him on the spot. But we all those things I mentioned before, that's what we are doing as for Christians. But what can we be doing for non-Christians? How can we be loving our non-Christian neighbours? So this barbecue that I was talking about, this is just internal communication. We call that our life together groups. I don't bust out a Bible. I don't bring out the guitar and sing Kumbaya around the fireplace. I do talk about Jesus because I'm a Christian. I talk about Jesus there, but it's in an organic, relational way. And so I have non-Christians and Christians there, and we're talking about a whole bunch of different things. Jesus will come up. My faith will come up. My testimony will come up. But it's actually to build relationships with non-Christians. And the reason why we have this internal communication for this separate kind of activity that's built to engage non-Christians is because it's very difficult in Australia to invite a post-Christian Aussie to a Bible study. Some will, very small minority, probably the atheists who want to debate you, but most Aussies aren't necessarily interested. Post-Christian Aussies aren't necessarily interested in coming to a Bible study just yet. But after doing life together, we've journeyed with these people. We've journeyed with some, they're good friends of ours now for a long time. And I know that they're getting closer and closer. And if I said, hey, can I pray for you? Hey, can I tell you what Jesus thinks about this issue? And I'm going, yes, yeah, please do. So, that's one of the things that we're doing, life together. So a life group can actually be a life together. The same group of people can then meet and then invite non-Christians along to it and then just spend time together doing life together. Hence the name, Life Together. But the big difference between Life Together and a life group is that Life Together accommodates non-Christian by removing the obviously religious elements of it, such as a Bible study. Does that make sense? If it doesn't, write it down in the app, write down the questions that can you explain this a little bit more? All right. How else are we loving our neighbours? Every Nation Campus. So I am a... And see, this ties in really well. You know, Derek has been coming to our barbecues because he's a starving student and he eats all our food. And he's been bringing his other starving student friends. And that's been great. And so there's been this synergy between what we've been doing at our place and Derek and his relationships with both Christians and non-Christians on campus. But also, I'm a chaplain at Victoria University. I'm there 2 days a week. And at the moment, it's kind of like a foot in the door. I'm there. It's the presence. Not really kind of scaling up at the moment because I'm still settling into this senior pastor thing. But we have Every Nation Campus as well. And I'm a chaplain at Victoria University. All right. So what do I want you to do? What do I want you to do? Do you want to know? Okay. This is what I want you to do. I want you guys to dream. I want you guys to dream and to come up with your own vision and to take ownership for your part of Melbourne. Just the people that are in your world, the Christians who are around you, the non-Christians who are around you, your workmates, your next-door neighbours. How can God use you where you are? You might be a long way away from ridges on Swanston. You might be, you know, who's the furthest away? I think we've got I think Jeff in Cranbourne. Are you guys in Cranbourne? Close to Cranbourne. So, I think that's pretty far. Tarneet's pretty far. Croydon, actually Croydon is pretty far, actually. So that's where Pastor Jay lives. So, we've got people spread out all across. How,
I want you to say, God, how can I build deep relationship that honors you and that makes disciples, Christians and non-Christians? How can I establish equipment power Christians that you bring alongside me? How can I be used by you to reach out to non-Christians, religious non-Christians, you know, like Muslims and Hindus and or non-religious non-Christians, like white Aussies who are post-Christian and atheists? And how can you use me, God? I want you to dream, to come up with your own vision of how to build family, how to build community, how to engage in your local area. Here's the thing. I absolutely do not have all the answers for where you live. But I know who does have all the answers for where you live. Jesus has all the answers for where you live. And what I want to say to you is that I am taking away from myself the burden of coming up with all the answers for you where you live. Because I'm not going to do that. Too busy. I've even given up playing computer games, and I'm still too busy. So I actually haven't got the time and the energy to come up with the answer of what God wants to do where you live. Where I'm putting my energy is me and our lead, where the leadership team is putting our energy is into you. We are spending time. We're going on the journey with you. We'll read the Bible together. We'll pray together. We'll dream together for what God wants to do where you live. If you want to organize something that builds relationship and community, whether it's for Christians, you know, us here in Every Nation, or for us and non-Christians, by all means, you know, please do. I've already had people sharing, you know, we want to have like an Every Nation Melbourne mums and wives once a month get together. Absolutely, go for it. Help you with that. Are you coming up, Jeff? No, you are, man. I was just about to ask you to come up, and you started coming up. I thought, wow, that's a connection in the spirit. I like it. By all means, please do come up with those ideas that you have to build community and relationship. Once again, those challenges that we need to overcome, you know, quite a spread out geographical area, cultural miscommunication at times, and just being busy. How can we overcome those things? So just to wrap up, Every Nation Melbourne, honour God, make disciples as true family. You know, I mentioned before, today's Father's Day, and once again, just want to honour all the fathers here. I think we have some, your kids will be giving you something very shortly. That's sweet and dark. I hope you enjoy it. What could it be? But as you know what fathers do? Fathers can and they should bring identity to a family. What does a father do? A father offers advice. You know, here's the thing. I'm not trying to say that you guys are little children and, you know, I'm the dad and here I am bringing, you know, and you need to listen to me. And if you don't, if you're being naughty boys and naughty girls, you get reminders or whatever. But this is what I like to think of. The situation. You know, I am a father in this church. A father can and should bring identity to a family. And what he does, a father relates to little children differently to adult children. And you guys are adult children. In this analogy, metaphor that I'm drawing out of my role in this church. I'm like the old dad, you're the adult children. And you know what? A father, he offers advice to his adult children on what to do, and he reminds them of who they are. I can't tell you what to do. I can offer advice. I can remind you of who you are. I can tell you some of the stories, the different things that I've been through, share that with you. And I'm doing that, walking with leaders in different geographical areas of Melbourne, raising them up so that they can serve all of us and their local community where they happen to live. Pastor Jay is doing the same. Pastor Kelly, Kira as well. A father can and should bring identity to a family. He offers advice to his adult children on what to do, and he reminds them of who they are. Some fathers tell their adult children what to do. I'm not going to do that. Other fathers empower their adult children to do whatever God calls them to do. And that's what I see my role as a senior pastor in the church. to empower you to do what God's calling you to do. See, my role is raising the leaders who will facilitate deeply powerful expressions of family in localities across Melbourne. Let me say that again. I see my role as raising the leaders who will facilitate deeply powerful expressions of family and relationship in localities all across Melbourne. We've been meeting in this hub here in Ridges on Swanston. I believe God is wanting to raise up hubs all across the city of Melbourne. We've already have geographical concentrations of people in the south, in the outer west, in the kind of middle north, the inner north, the southeast, the east. Imagine. It's Vision Sunday after all. Imagine. Imagine communities across different parts of Melbourne that love each other deeply, so deeply that the world knows. Oh, remember what Jesus said in John 13, 35? By this the world will know that you are my disciples, by your love for one another. What's the greatest commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. The second is like this. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love your Christian neighbor as yourself. And if you do this, then the world will know that the community that you have is a genuine community. That the family you have is a genuine family. And then you will have the opportunity to love our non-Christian neighbors. And we'll be engaging. We'll be establishing. We'll be equipping. We'll be empowering. We'll be honoring God and making disciples. If we break it back down to what it's all about. Relationships. Imagine communities across different parts of Melbourne that love each other deeply so that the world would know by our love for each other that we are His disciples. Communities that honour God and make disciples as true family, no matter the nationality. Sure, there might be communication issues. We might get offended at each other at times, but we'll talk it out. And through that offence, we'll actually have stronger relationship. That's how Kira and I have had stronger relationship over the nearly 15 years that we've been married. We've offended each other so many times. We've gotten angry at each other. Even just this past week, when we talk about us, this is the second draft of this Vision Sunday. The first one I gave to Kira, we had an argument over. And I was a little bit offended. But I got over it. And our relationship is stronger because of it. Imagine communities across different parts of Melbourne that love each other deeply so that the world knows that we're His disciples. Communities that honour God and make disciples as true family, no matter the nationality. What would these communities be? They would be powerful expressions of what the church should be. They would be powerful expressions of the kingdom of God on earth. You know, we're called by Jesus to pray, "Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven." We build these communities a deep relationship. If we as the leaders invest deeply with the various hub leaders, community leaders, locality leaders, whatever, in the different parts of Melbourne, that prayer will start to be answered. The kingdom of God will come. What would these communities be that honour God and make disciples as true family? They would be powerful expressions of the kingdom of God. And you know what they would be one day? They would be churches in their own right. But you know what? There's no... You know, in some ways, this Vision Sunday is so contrasted to, I remember two senior pastors ago, great man, and he had a huge vision. It was called the 2020 vision. It was massive. We're going to plant 20 churches across the city of Melbourne by the year 2020. And we've had our ups and downs, and I don't think we're going to make it because it's 2020 in a couple of years' time. But, you know, that was such a big, audacious, bold, incredible vision, and so much faith was required. It was powerful. It was wow. And I thought, well, but basically all I'm talking about is relationship. But I wonder if it takes as much faith and as much risk and as much stepping out and as much sacrifice and as much commitment to actually build true relationship, true family. Maybe that's just as big. Maybe it's just as powerful. Maybe it's not as marketable. I mean, 2020 vision, that works on so many different levels, right? Especially for those of us who wear glasses. You know, year 2020, 2020 vision, 20 churches. But, you know, I think what God's calling us to is just as big. Just as big. Just as much commitment. Just as much of being sold out to who we are. These communities across different parts of Melbourne that love each other deeply, one day they'll become churches. There's no rush though. We don't have to have 20 churches by the year 2020. But they would become churches in time. And there's no rush, slow is fast. And this is the time frame I'm thinking of. Slow is fast. And this is the time frame I'm thinking of. I want my children to have their children. I want my children, the age 7 to 11. I want my children to have their children in a church that honors God and makes disciples as true family. That's why I'm highly invested in this. I want my kids to raise their kids. I want my grandkids in churches in Melbourne that honor God and make disciples, that prioritizes relationship above everything else. I don't want to send my kids to a church where they don't prioritize relationship. I don't want to send my kids to a church where they don't love the Lord their God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. Where they don't love their neighbour as themselves, their Christian neighbour, their non-Christian neighbour. I mean, what church do you want your kids to grow up in? Let me finish with this. I believe that God the Father, He wants His children to have their children in a church that honours God and makes disciples as true family. So that's it. Pass it over to Pastor Jay.